sit up here.
Right, have to be Gary.
We'll put it like this. The way you can be you or Gary. So.
I have no objection to that.
All righty. We would like to welcome all of you out tonight to the Daniel Town Council meetings. Monday, January 8th, 2024, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Services Building. And we're glad that you're all here tonight. And it's good to see all of you. We'll go ahead and start with agenda item number one, public comment. So if we have any public comment.
Good evening. My name's Pam Skinner. I live on Ranch Drive.
Do you speak up a little bit?
Shut up. I mean, no.
That's on record.
I just want to welcome the new council members and glad the old council members have returned. Thank you. And verbalize a couple thoughts that I have for the new year, 2024, of things that are concerning to me as a resident of our town. One, number one, is how unique our town is, that we have such an awesome space. Does everybody notice how many people walk in our town? I live on Ranch and between T-Income and Ranch. So many people walk and bike, and they, if I'm out working, they're like, oh, you're such a nice spot, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'd like to try to maintain that uniqueness, and one of the uniqueness, I think, is our zoning. Anyway, that's something that's really valued in our area. So that's the first thing I want to say. And the second thing is I'm a little concerned on traffic, particularly on 3000 South. I don't live on 3000, but I live two lots in. And I can hear the cars roaring down that road. So I can't imagine how it is for the folks that do live on 3000. And I'm not sure what we can do about it, but I think we should, as a town, focus on that. I don't know if it's speed bumps. I know snow removal and all that stuff, or roundabout. I don't know. There's got to be 100 things up there that I don't know about to try to get people to slow down. And also, I realize guilty of speeding on occasion if I'm late, but I really, really, really tried to stick with the 35. And I think as residents, if we can stick with it, maybe we can get out-of-towners to stick with it. But when, and of course they don't know if we live here or not, but if they see other people zooming along, I think that encourages other people to zoom along also. And I feel really bad for the folks that live on 3000. There is so much noisy traffic that goes along there. And I know, I'm not saying let's stop it because we can't, it's a public road, but maybe we can think outside the box and figure out something that we can slow it down, make it harder for them to speed. I was up on Jeremy Ranch last week, and they have speed bumps on a public road, and they're brick speed bumps, and they've raised them, and I have no idea how they got that through with the snow plows and all that, but they are there. And so maybe we can think outside the box and think of something to make it more difficult for people to speed along there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get more people to walk. That'd be lovely. There certainly are plenty that walk down my road with
is
dogs.
Anybody else public comment? I'm going into public comment. You're going to
public comment time.
That's all right. I am a public. I am right now.
You are public. You got your public hat on.
Hey, so really tonight, just what I wanted to do, and I didn't put it on an agenda item, but I did want to thank Mary and Barry for their service. I might get emotional, I don't know. You know, I guess it's all right to get emotional in a town meeting. But just the years, I did contact Mary, and she's under the weather tonight. She told me, and she was gonna be here this evening, and I just wanted to get both of them up here and just really thank them for the service that they've provided to the town. You know, Mary's been here for a long time, and she's kind of an icon, and I know I'm gonna miss her. I know that I've spent a lot of time with her over the last little while, and just the knowledge that she has, is, you can sit down and talk to her for a few minutes and you kind of got things in perspective. And so I think the town's going to miss her. I want her to know that. I want her to know how much we appreciate her service and over the years. And so we, as a council and as a town, we did get them a little gift. And I'll make sure that Mary gets this. Barry, if you'll stand up, we appreciate your service. Go when you want, and we'll make sure that Mary gets this and that she's appreciated. And so, with having said that, I'm done. All public comment. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, we'll go to agenda item number 2. And that'll be the swearing in of the new council members. And we'll turn the time over to Kim to do that. And then we'll have a brief discussion after Gary gets sworn in.
Don't swear.
Come on up.
Me?
Oh.
Yep.
You're good, right?
Okay.
You can raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Gary Mauldin.
That's my left hand. I just want to see if you knew.
I was going to let you do whatever you want. Because you can affirm, too.
Oh, okay.
I, Gary Mauldin.
I, Gary Mauldin.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
I will support,
obey
the Constitution.
And defend.
And defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And I will discharge my duties.
I will discharge my duties.
Of my office with fidelity.
Of my office with fidelity. Thank you.
Yay!
Here?
I
do.
Yes, please. Look, right. I even have
we got your name tag right here.
We've
if you want it,
got
we can switch. Barry, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, so just briefly, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I received a phone call Friday night from Matt McMillan, who was the other councilman that was going to get sworn in tonight. He has told me that he doesn't have the time nor the ability to fulfill that council seat right now. And so that caused me to scramble a little bit. And I respect his decision. I conversed with him multiple times, and that's where we're at. So, having said that, we have an open council seat. I've looked through the book, the Leagues of Cities and Towns. I've figured out how we're to move forward with this. I talked to one of the individuals at the Leagues of City and Towns today. And what we will do is we will run an application or an ad in the paper for the next, if I remember what I read right, it's 14 days that we have to have it public noticed and run. We'll take the applications that come in from that, and in our meeting next month, we'll basically, that will be kind of like where we interview the candidates, and then we'll make a decision, the council will make a decision based on the individuals that are available. And so you'll see that notice go out in the paper this week, and you'll see, it'll be public noticed, it'll be on the website, and I just want to say, if there's anybody that you know that would be good, or that you think might help the town, there's no reason why we can't reach out to them and just encourage them to maybe think about taking this seat or becoming on the town council. And I've said this, Daniel's a great town. I've lived here 36 years, and there's a lot of great people. And you know, as long as we sit home and don't get involved, we can say whatever we want to say because we don't know. But once we get involved and once we kind of figure out what's going on, it's a great place to live, and there's a lot of good people. We need people, and that's what creates a good town and a good environment. And so I'm going to leave it at that. If you have any questions, feel free to call me. But moving forward, that's how we're going to take care of the situation that we have. And Johnny will be here shortly. But really, we have to have a four-man council and the mayor to operate, honestly. And so just keep that in mind. And if you, I don't have a problem going and talking to anybody. So if you feel like there's an individual that would be good, let me know, and I will personally go talk to them to put an application in. So I don't know if that's legal or not, but it seems legal to me.
Sign here.
But having done that, we've sworn in Gary. Gary, appreciate the time and the energy that you're going to put in here. It'd be great working with you, and glad you're here. So
thanks.
It's good to see all your family too. It's good to see all your kids and most of your kids and your grandkids, and it's good to have you all here.
Just at least get some comment from
it. Yeah, we should get them up and have them speak to us for a few minutes. But well, I know every one of them, and they wouldn't like it if I did that.
But she loves to talk.
Okay, so we'll move on from there. You know what's happening in the town right now, and for at least this part of it, and we'll go from there. So let's go to agenda item number 3, which is business license. Business licenses. There's the packet. We have, I believe this is a new application. The name of the business is Made to Sparkle. The name of the applicant is Chastity Morgan. Their physical address is 350 West, 3000 South, Heber City, Utah. The nature of their business is a cleaning business. I don't see her here tonight. And so this, as you guys know, as business applications come to us now, they've already gone through the Planning Commission and been recommended to the town to provide a license to this company. And so do we have any comments or any questions about this applicant? Okay. I'll call for a motion then.
I'll move to approve the business license application Made to Sparkle.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Gary, when we vote, we just start on this end of the table and go down.
And it's yes or no, not yea or nay.
Just for one discussion on the license, has the license been verified? Have we verified the license with the state?
No, we have not.
She's had a license in Heber City.
Okay.
And then she moved to Daniel. She does residential cleaning.
Okay.
There's no clients coming to her property.
At all.
Okay.
Everything's out.
She's just doing bookkeeping at her home.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Kohler, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Good. Thank you. Okay, let's go to agenda item number four then. Council reports and updates. And we'll start with you, Robin, if that's okay.
Yeah, just a couple of things that I want to say as well. I'm very appreciative of Barry and Mary. As a member of this council, I am saddened to see them go, but by the same token, I appreciate the huge amount of service that they rendered to the town. I'm also very appreciative, Mayor, of your efforts to get those potholes patched throughout the town with the assistance of the county. I've received so much feedback regarding that. So anyway, very, very appreciative of that. Other than that, I'm just glad to be here. Look forward to a new year.
Very good. Thanks, Robin. I've pretty much well said what I have to say this evening. So, Gary, we'll turn some time over to you for council report.
Well, I'd like to say that, you know, I've been here in the beginning, which has been, 20-something years ago, but the comments that Pam made was exactly right. We are unique. But also there's something else that I'd like to say is we're unique because of the people. And there's a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of things that people want changed. And there's nothing wrong with change, in my opinion. But it needs to be the best fit for our community. And to me, that's going to be one of the top things that I'm going to try to dwell on, is that it fits what we have been trying to do for 20 plus years with our community. Nothing says we have to be the same as everybody else, you know? And so I appreciate the support that I've had through all the time that I've spent with the town, with the water, and the individuals that I've met and had contact with, and everybody's been so supportive, and it's like we can be one big family, and we are one big family. We may not communicate every day to everybody, but that's what makes a great town. And I think the mayor's done a great job, and Robin, and I think we can continue those efforts as long as we don't lose sight of what our main goal is for the town of Daniels. And I appreciate the support that my family's given me, and I hope to do a good job. And my phone is open to whoever wants to call and discuss something. If something needs to be discussed in a meeting, then that's where we'll do it. But one thing that I remember when I first went to the Towns and Leagues meeting for the training 20-some years ago, do your business in public. And to me, that's a smart thing to do, and the only way to do it. So, other than that, I appreciate the potholes that had comments people made. It's glad to see we got those fixed. And I said, well, you can thank the mayor for that. So, anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Looking forward to working with you and in the community. Appreciate all you've done and continue to do behind the scenes. You do a lot. People don't know, but I know.
That's fine with me.
So appreciate everything. Okay, let's go to our engineering report. I let the engineers go tonight because we really didn't have anything to talk about engineering-wise. And so I excused them from the meeting tonight. There are things going on, but we'll talk about those on this next agenda item, which is the planner report. And I know you guys don't have this planning report, but I'm going to read what's on this planning report tonight. And then Eric's here, and we'll put Eric on the spot if we need to. You okay with that, Eric?
Sure. I live there.
Okay. So on our planning and zoning reports, and that's in your packet too, Gary. If you just keep peeling documents back, you'll have all of the information that we're talking about. So we have CMC Rock, the concrete building that's completed, except the lighting and grading permit, which they're working on right now. A lot of you guys know where that is and know what's going on there, and there is still a little bit of work that needs to be done there, and we'll keep monitoring that. We have the Nephi Trunnell building.
Okay. In our minutes, there was some issues about their concrete trucks not using authorized or designated roads. And do you have an update on that? Have you had a chance to visit them?
So that it wasn't their concrete trucks. It was their powder trucks and their gravel trucks that were coming in, and they were turning on 3000 South and coming up to the four-way intersection and coming down Southfield Road. I did call Todd Cusick, and I told Todd that we were aware of this, and he said it won't be happening anymore. And honestly, I haven't seen anybody on there for a few weeks from CMC. There are other trucks using that access, you know, as you guys remember in our meetings, Todd said he would personally take care of that, and he's done that. I made one phone call, got right to him, spoke with him, and all of CMC's trucks are coming up 189 and either getting on at the Walmart light, or they're going up and coming across Airport Road. And he told me if we see any of that, or if we need, if he needs to pay some more attention to that, he's very workable with and easy to get a hold of. And so the last two or three weeks, I haven't seen any of that. But yes, we did contact.
Thank you.
Talk to him.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else about that?
Well, I've seen a couple of the concrete trucks coming off up there when I've been driving down 3000 to go to Provo.
Well, and all I can,
you know, I get it. I don't live on that road, so, you know, it could have been a random experience, but on two separate days I saw two or three trucks.
And they did say, if you remember, if they're delivering concrete into the Daniel area, they would use the Daniel Road.
Correct.
And We'll keep an eye on it.
You
let me know.
Yeah. I was just driving along the road and said, huh, how interesting. I mean, they turned and went to 189 behind me and turned and headed towards Provo.
Yep.
So I don't know what they were doing, but that was what they did.
Yeah. Well, and just keep us informed as you see things, and we'll, you know.
And the people on 3000 would be the ones who would see them.
Right.
Those are there at that intersection.
Yep.
But anyway.
Okay.
They seemed like he was a gentleman that was willing to work with us.
Thanks. Nephi Trunnell building, the building permit is issued. The red tag was lifted. There was a red tag on there for some lighting. They didn't have all of their wraps on their lights. They're all on there now. And right now, they are working with the county fire district. They need one more fire hydrant in there, and that's the fire district that's monitoring that. And so that's where we're at on that one. Reggie Kohler's residence, he's still working along on that. We have the Mark Harrelson project, which is up on Highway 40. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on all this stuff because a lot of this is still in preliminary plan check and everything else. So we have Chip Polvardi conditional use permit on his barn, and we have another hearing for Chip Polvardi in February. It's set, a public hearing. He bought an additional property and wants to put another barn on it. And so that'll be coming to the Planning Commission in February, and the Planning Commission will look that over and go from there. We have Bob Probst agricultural permit on 3000 South. We have Tom Ingalls agricultural permit on his ag barn. We have the Steiner addition permit, which is issued. We have the Simpson garage permit, which is issued. We have the Crab porch and bedroom remodel on Daniel Road. We have the Webb Ag Barn up on Highway 40. We have the Derek and Jen Gressman grading permit on Little Sweden Road up probably about halfway to Highway 40. So it's on it's from Mill Road, in between Mill Road and Highway 40. It's a lot that goes back in off of Little Sweden. And we just have a new application or a new permit. Larry Rhodes is building an ag building behind his place. And I think if you go down Southfield Road, you'll see that. They set the poles the other day. And so those are just some of the many, many things that we're looking at and dealing with, and the Planning Commission dealing with a lot of these things. And Planning Commission meets the third Wednesday of each month. We discussed the lighting concerns on Trenelles. We have the Schultz property that we're continuing to work with, and we have the Jess Smith property up in Crazy Acres that we're continuing to work with also. And so those are complaints, legal actions, and whatnot. And so, you know, for a small little town, we got a lot of stuff going, and it occupies time. But it's good to see. And you know, we've got a lot of good people. So, Eric, do you got anything you want to add to that or detract from?
If you got questions, come in.
Any questions about our planning report and what's going on? Okay. All righty. Let's go to the Daniel Municipal Water and the Storm Haven Water System. Eric, I'm going to turn that over to you. Are there any questions about our two water systems?
From the public or from me?
From the public. I didn't think you'd have a question. Okay. You have the answer.
Oh, okay.
Any questions about water or anything like that?
So just as an update, while you're thinking of other questions, we've had the power out twice now on the Daniel system. So once we're down to 9 foot, the tank went down to 9 foot, and once at 12, we caught those and of course got that back online. We do have a leak in Storm Haven, and we're waiting for the plumber to show up on scene and get it fixed. So
I'll give you an update on the leak in Storm Haven.
All right.
I talked to Adam about an hour ago.
Right on.
And they did actually get all the parts in today to fix that. He told me that he was pretty much booked this week,
and that he probably wouldn't be able to get up there until Wednesday of next week. And I just told him, we need to know. We can't have a probably, because we have to notify the Storm Haven water users a couple of days in advance. And what he told me is that he would like to try and do that Wednesday around 10 o'clock in the morning. He figured they're going to have the water off for maybe 4 hours max, so between 10 and 2. And we're hoping to have that fixed, not this week, but next week.
So the 17th?
Yep.
So that's good. Lisa's here. She helps get that word out on Facebook and up in her neighborhood. So,
so yep. Do you want me to go ahead and post that then?
Well, what I think we ought to do is wait for a day or two and just let me continue to check with Adam and make sure that that's good. I'll let you know by Friday.
Okay, sounds good.
And we can move forward with that. Now, I just want to make one comment about the other water system, the Daniel tank. As I was talking with Eric a few days ago, we're killing a lot of turkeys, and that's what's causing the breaker to trip. Is we're frying a lot of turkeys, and every time a turkey gets on them box, them breakers and whatnot, that's what's causing the power outages is turkeys, and that come right from Heber Light and Power. And so, you know, if we can catch them in time, we might have some smoked turkey to give away. But I don't know. It's just caused a lot of, we have to do a lot of checking at the tank to make sure that we still have power and that up there. So just be aware that that's what's going on. There's a lot of turkeys up there, and it just is what it is. And so,
my husband's a turkey hunter in the spring. No, give me more information. He'd love to help out.
Well, that's good. But that's what's causing our power outages. It's not the system or that. That's what they're telling us is they're tripping. They get on there and it trips the breakers and blows the fuse. And we've been replacing main fuses back into there. And so we're aware of that, and we're keeping an eye on that.
Recalling, Eric, and we've had this discussion before, but as the power goes down, and we had the power go down, and I think that may have been the cause of our chlorinator being lost last year, some substantial. Do we get some type of an emergency notice or some type of a response when the power goes out to that well house?
I'm not aware of any. Mike Duggan called and said he had a low power alarm that he got, or a low temperature alarm, sorry. Low temperature alarm when the temperature went down, but I'm not aware if our SCADA system's hooked up to a notification system or not.
It would seem like it would behoove us to investigate the possibility of that, or else, as we discussed before, the alternative of possibly propane fuel to heat that facility. Anyway, I just, turkeys or Mother Nature or catastrophic events that could cause the power to go down, and we may not know it until, again, we've incurred some substantial costs. So I do know that there are alarms that can be triggered when the power shuts off for some reason or another, at least.
I don't know if I don't know if our SCADA system's capable of that or not. If the PLCs are talking, I don't know.
I'll check into that. I'll talk to Mike.
Is there no generator up there to kick in if the power goes off?
Not yet.
Nope.
Well, I mean, we put a Generac in our house. Come on, they're not that expensive. Maybe that's something the town should invest in. As soon as electricity goes off my house, the generator kicks on.
Yep.
And tells me that it's running by my phone. It's, I don't know, it's not that expensive.
Yeah.
If we could afford it. The town, I think, could afford it as a backup system. Because it seems important to have it run.
I would say it's pretty important.
Pretty important.
Well, and that
kind of ranks right up there, next to oxygen.
And that brings up a good discussion. How big a generator do we have? Do we have one that will run the pump?
I don't know what it means.
Or just the heaters? I mean, that's, it's discussion. That's why I'm saying it brings up good discussion of how big of a generator do we need.
And I like the generator idea a lot better than propane because, you know, you put a tank up there. I mean, I don't think we can bury it in the ground, but.
I think you can, but.
Well, we'll check into that and see.
Is there natural gas up there?
No, there's nothing up there.
Yeah, because I've run on natural gas, so I see, and then that, of course, raises the price tag. Maybe the turkeys would run a little.
Yeah.
Well, and we've discussed this a little bit and we'll continue to discuss it, but we have appropriated funds to fix the pump house and a few things up there. We're just, I mean, we're still on a list and.
Yep.
And I think we're getting closer though, don't you?
Oh, we improve all the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we improve.
So.
And we've increased our times that we check.
Yep.
So we're up there about every 3 days, so we're catching up long before. I mean, no, there's no disruption in the system at all to the customers.
Yep. Okay.
In the beginning of this thing, the power company had told us that they could monitor that line. I had yet to ever see that happen. And so it might be behooves to have a discussion with the power company to see just what it is it would take them to be able to monitor that, because they've all, for a lot of years, they said they could, but you'd call them and they say, well, we don't see anything wrong.
They're still saying that. That's what she says. I'm looking at the screen. Sure. You're on. I says, I'm standing at the bottom of the pole and the fuse is hanging. We're not on.
Right.
Okay, I'll send a guy.
So I'm not sure what type of communication that could be put on those cutouts to monitor a phase loss, but I'm sure it's possible.
We have battery-operated systems that basically will click on and send a signal if the power goes down.
Well, it should come through. Originally, it was supposed to come through their new meter, you know, new type of meter they put in everything, and programmable, and supposed to pick up the data up off that meter through the airways. And but I think we ought to talk to them.
I wrote a note right here to get a hold of Heber Lighting Power, and I can make that phone call and talk to Jason and see what he thinks. So I'll do that.
Okay.
That'll.
I think that'd be. I think they can solve that myself. But.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions or comments about the water systems? I think we're running pretty good. I think things are pretty good for now, and we'll go from there. Eric, thank you for all you do.
You
appreciate that.
We did replace a couple of meters that froze, so.
Yep.
The usual stuff.
Okay, very good. Let's go to agenda item number 8, which is the recorder's office.
It's the last page.
Warrants and warrants, approval, and announcements. just take a look at all of that, Gary. And this is online as well as it'll be in your pack at each meeting.
Okay.
So you'll be able to look at this stuff prior to a meeting.
Your office space, I know there was an issue about rent increase. And
yep.
Where did we ultimately end up with all of that?
So we're at, Kim, go ahead and answer that for us, please.
The mayor signed 18-month contract, so it takes us through the end of this year and then one more fiscal year for $650. While our building owner decides what he's going to do, that also locks in the price. If his siblings buy out that building, they can't increase the rent on us, and that gives us a little time to decide, do we want to stay there? Do we want to look for something in the town? It just gave us a good chunk of time to make that decision.
What was the increase on that? Was it?
It was from $500 to $650
to $650. So it was $150 a month, and you know, I don't know if you guys have been looking at office space or anything else, but $650 is unheard of. So, we are getting a pretty
and that deal. Includes all of our utilities and our internet.
And that is in the Beaufort building. You guys know that on the end of Daniels Road, right there by across the street from Betty's, in the upstairs. That's where our office is. So, okay, if you've are there any other questions or comments about the warrants? If not, I'll call for a motion.
I'll move to approve the warrants for December. I'll move to approve.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Yes.
Kohler, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Let's go to agenda number, item number 9, which is the approval of the meeting minutes for December 4th, 2023. And there's a copy of those there for you to look at. While these guys are, I actually forgot what, had something slip my mind. I wanted to say something. It'll come back to me in just a minute. But while they were looking at these, if it comes to me, I'll talk about it. But it might be the next meeting. Getting a little older.
Mayor, I went through the minutes quite thoroughly. I know you and I were the only members of the council that are here, but I did not see anything that basically jumped out at me in terms of glaring errors. There's a little typo here or there, but nothing that changes the context of the minutes. So I would move to approve the minutes of the December meeting.
Okay, do I have a second?
I guess technically I can second it. I was here to the meeting, but
do you want me to second it? Can I second it?
You can do whatever you can do what you want. Kim was going to send me this information, and it didn't work.
It bounced back.
Yeah, so it didn't work. So I can't recall anything that was there.
I'll make a second. So then I'll call for a vote. I didn't know I could make it.
You can
second the motion.
Okay. Yes.
So you say Walton? Yes.
Yes.
You say Walton.
Walton, yes. Oh, excuse me.
Kohler, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay.
That's right. Just so it's clear on the request.
I forgot that.
I can't hardly even believe this, but what?
New record.
New record. Let's. I'll call for a motion.
I will move to close this meeting, this very first meeting of 2004.
24. Excuse me, 2004. It's 20
years
behind. Yeah. Okay. 20 years.
You want to make a second?
I'll make.
I'll let you make a second.
Somebody's done.
No. Call for a second.
I'll second the motion as stated.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Well,
thank you, guys.